All right, our time is up. Our time is up. If you heard a description of this community that is so awesome, you want to share it with everyone, go ahead and call it out.
Supportive.
Friendly.
Loving.
Caring.
Peculiar.
Welcoming. Peculiar.
That's from our last our growth group. We learned we're a peculiar bunch of people.
Loving. All excellent words. I want to make sure nobody feels left out. If you have another word, go ahead and call it out now. What was that?
Comedians.
Home.
I like that word. As pastors, what we want is we would like an authentic, healthy congregation. And so that's what Paul and I both, we're both on the same page with that. And our scripture today talks about what are the components of having an authentic, healthy church community.
So we're going to go through our scripture text again and explore what an authentic, healthy community looks like. The early church must have been authentic and healthy. It grew so much so that we are alive and exist today. So let's go through our text again and see what it takes to be an authentic and healthy community. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. I really want to impress you guys, so I'm going to focus on the first verb in that verse, devoted. It comes from the Greek word proskartereo. That's really not important. That's just letting you know I can pronounce a Greek word. And what it means is to attach oneself to hold fast to persevere in. Another meaning might be, if you work for a business and you guys have a community identity statement or an ethos statement, that's kind of what this Greek word means. It's a priority, a principle that everyone relates to. So if you want to be a part of this early church community, you would adopt this and be devoted to these four things. Let's talk about what these four things are. The first quality of an authentic and healthy community is devotion to the apostles' teaching. Now, the earlier service got this one wrong. Hopefully you guys can get this one right. What does apostle mean? Perfect. First answer. Sent out one. In antiquity, if you wanted to send someone a message, you didn't take out your iPhone and text them. You couldn't even email them. In fact, sometimes you couldn't even write it down. Often they would write it down and send it through a messenger, through an apostle, or they would verbally tell the apostle who would relay that. So if they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, who are these folks? Well, earlier in Acts, Jesus, before ascending to heaven, sent out this group of disciples. He said, go to Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So it's this group of people who are called the apostles. Do you know any apostles alive today? There are a couple on TV that I see every once in a while. I'm not quite sure they're apostles. I don't accept them as an apostle. So if we're to follow the apostles' teaching today, where would we look? The Bible. Excellent. So the early church, focusing on the apostles' teaching, it invites us to look at Scripture. That invites this question. How is your relationship with Scripture? Joshua 1:8 says, don't let this book of the law depart from out of your mouth. Excuse me. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you be careful to do everything written in it. So serious question. When's the last time you opened that book, the Bible? Anyone do it this morning? A couple of us? Because it's on this, somebody's raising their hand. How about in your growth group? Did you open your Bible then? How about outside of that time? Maybe, yeah? Wow, you guys are farther along than I thought you were. What does meditating on Scripture look like? Sometimes it might be you're in the car and you turn on the Christian radio station and you hear Scripture that way. Sometimes it might be Lectio Divina, or reading through Scripture over and over and over again. The important thing is not the way that you study Scripture. It's that you're studying Scripture and that you're doing it regularly and often. It's a quantity issue, not a quality issue. Not only that, devotion to Scripture is not just studying, but it's also living it out. Imagine for a moment somebody with a chronic medical condition, and they go to the doctor, who's the authority, right? The doctor says, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. Otherwise, you're going to die. If the doctor told you that, what would you do? Do exactly what they said, right? It's the same way with Scripture. Scripture is an authority on how God relates to humanity. Scripture is the authority on how God relates to each and every one of us. And Scripture is the authority on how we relate to each other. So it's not only spending time, the quantity of time with Scripture, it's being able to be changed by what we read. Does that make sense? So the first mark of an authentic and healthy community is devotion to Scripture.
Another mark of authenticity and health in a congregation is fellowship. And since he used a Greek word, I'm going to use a Greek word. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. And if you remember Pastor Tim, remember him, talked about koinonia 2 weeks ago in his sermon. Koinonia doesn't mean just a superficial, hi, how you doing on a Sunday morning kind of thing. It's about developing quality relationships. It's about hospitality and inviting others in, kind of like what we did with Holly and with Rosie. We're inviting them into community with us. And if you think about the Pentecost event, there were God-fearing Jews from every nation present at that moment when the Holy Spirit came down. And they heard the people that from Galilee speaking in their individual languages, and they were so blown away by it. They could not believe they were hearing their own language. So it shows us that God's fellowship, God's koinonia, is not homogeneous. It breaks down barriers. It breaks down barriers of race. But not just that, God's fellowship also breaks down barriers of class and economic inequality. And if we look at our scripture today, it tells us that they sold all their possessions and their property, giving to anyone in need, and they were together and had everything in common. So their fellowship wasn't just about core values and goals. It was about high regard for one another's spiritual and physical well-being. Okay, so now you're all panicking, thinking that I'm telling you you need to go sell everything, and we're all going to move in, we're going to buy a big piece of property, and we're all going to live together. Wouldn't that be interesting, wouldn't it? I didn't even want to buy the house on Potomac. That was too close, so... Not that I don't love you guys, I do. But what this is saying, the sort of the gist of the heart of this particular part of the passage, was that the early church, they took care of one another. So this fellowship went beyond just a social thing. It was deep, deep concern and care for one another. It meant not only that, but it also meant having an attitude of humility about our wealth and where our wealth comes from. And at the same time, not looking down on others who maybe are not as blessed financially as we are. So I think the gospel continuously challenges us to this authentic stewardship and sacrificial giving. So the first mark of a vital or healthy, authentic church is devotion to Scripture. And then the second mark is this koinonia, authentic fellowship.
The third mark of an authentic and healthy community is evidenced by the way we eat together. What comes to mind when you hear the phrase breaking of bread? Communion? We'll talk about that in a little bit. There were two experiences I had this week which recalled to my mind the phrase breaking of bread. The first of which was on Thursday morning. I went to breakfast with a group of men from this church, and it was an enjoyable time, a positive koinonia experience. So that's the first experience. The second experience was there was a gentleman who knocked on the door and described a ravenous desire for food of any sort, chips, candy, anything you've got. He described hunger in a way that I've never experienced before. And as I've had these two experiences, I wonder if maybe breaking of bread is not the joining of the two, a positive koinonia experience where nobody is hungry. When I said breaking of bread, you guys identified communion as what came to mind. We practiced that this morning at the 9 o'clock service. It is at the table where the Christ presents this feast, and it doesn't matter if you have a home or not. It doesn't matter if you are rich or if you don't have a penny to your name. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, purple, orange, green. None of that matters. At the table that Christ sets before us, all are welcome. And so in an authentic and healthy community, the same thing is true. All are welcome. So when it comes to an authentic and healthy community, the first mark is devotion to Scripture. We're repeating this because you're probably going to be asked it later, so please keep this in mind. The first mark is devotion to Scripture. The second is koinonia. The third is open table fellowship.
So as you look at this list, the fourth element or mark in this list is prayer. And just because it's last doesn't mean it's not important. It's definitely not the least important. Prayer is an opportunity for us to be in relationship with our Creator and with one another. And it's not just about worship on Sunday morning. It's about developing a daily practice of devotion to prayer. And so we can use set prayers or devotionals. We can pray the Psalms. We can even do the ancient practice of Lectio Divina, which some of us have learned about through workshops and at retreats. It's where you read through a small portion of Scripture, three or four times, and you look at words or phrases that might jump out to you and really resonate with where you are right that moment. Another type of prayer that I've been doing for the last 5 years, I'm not always very good at this, but I'm trying, is sitting in silence waiting for God to speak. And it is challenging because your mind is going, wanting to think about all kinds of different things. But often what I'll do is I'll listen to a piece of music. And for me, choral music and even Gregorian chants really help me sort of get into this very quiet place and helps me center myself. We all carry huge burdens at one time or another in our lives. I had several people in my office just this week sharing some really deep stuff that they're struggling with. And so part of my role as a pastor and part of our role as a congregation is to walk alongside people when they're going through things. And the one way that we can not feel burdened and overwhelmed by what's going on with people is to spend time in prayer and to spend time in silence. Laying those woes and those cares at the foot of the cross is the only way I know to not feel overwhelmed. And so prayer allows us to carry each other's burdens and lift them up. It binds us together in this deep way and provides nourishment for our souls. So as we are summing up here, the marks of the church, the early church, and hopefully our community as well, is devotion to Scripture, koinonia, inclusive table fellowship, and prayer.
That was just the first of 6 verses, and we're already 15 minutes in. You got 5 more verses to go through. Thankfully.
Dead silence. Oh, no.
Thankfully, the rest of the verses just describe the result of a community that is authentic and healthy, one that's devoted to scripture, to koinonia, to inclusive table fellowship, and to prayer. Specifically, it says they were filled with awe at the many signs and wonders being done in their midst. All the believers were together and held everything in common. They sold their possessions and property and gave to everyone who had need. They met together in the temple courts daily. They celebrated table fellowship in their homes with glad and sincere hearts. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Maybe you feel this way. I know there are at least some who feel like now that Paul's here and Claire and Paul are our co-pastor team, we can't wait for all the people that are going to come through the door. Our sanctuary is going to be filled with people. It's going to be like it used to be, that golden age of MagPress. What this bump on the head reminded me and hopefully communicates to you is that I don't walk on water. I'm not a savior.
I'm human. I'm not either, but you all already know that.
And so it's not up to us to make that happen. But I wonder if we're a community that's authentic and healthy, if we're devoted to scripture, to koinonia, to open table fellowship, inclusive table fellowship, and to prayer. I wonder what our community might look like then. Maybe our community will be filled with signs and wonders. Maybe we can put a dent in the helplessness, hopelessness, and homelessness that surrounds our church campus. Maybe everyone who steps onto this campus will experience the loving, home, caring, peculiar family that we have here. Maybe we could be a beacon to the city of Riverside, maybe even to the county of Riverside, maybe to all of Southern California and to the world about Christ's transforming power in this world. All it takes is devotion. Devotion to, what were they? Scripture? Koinonia? Inclusive? Can we do this louder? Devotion to scripture? Koinonia? Inclusive table fellowship? And prayer. If we're devoted to those things, we could be an authentic and healthy community. MagPress, is that something you're interested in doing? Do you want to be a part of that community that's authentic and healthy, making a difference in Riverside, a difference in Southern California, a difference in the world?
Yes.
I was expecting slightly more excitement. Do you want to be a part of a healthy community devoted to scripture, to koinonia, to inclusive table fellowship, and to prayer? One that's going to make Christ's kingdom a reality, not only for us, but for everybody that lives around us. Is that something you're interested in doing? Then let's prove it. We'll have opportunities this week where we can watch Netflix or read a novel or do something else. Or instead, we can use that time to be devoted to Now, after the 9 o'clock service, as people left, there was one wonderful woman, Ruth, I think was her name, and I said, well, what are you going to do different this week based on the sermon? And she said, I already do all those things. And I was like, oh. Some of us here might do all those things and be devoted to them well. Do more. There are people who come onto this campus that don't feel like their family. By devoting ourselves to these things, we can make a difference in this community for Christ.
Please pray with me. Gracious God, we are grateful that you have called us to do something really wonderful and exciting and specific. And as we're learning together what that might look like, we ask, Lord, that you would be with us, that you would be with us in our life together, that we are learning from each other and growing together, as even as we're getting to know Paul and his family. And so we ask, Lord, that you would continue to guide us, that you would speak to us this week in a special and new way, and that the things that we talked about today would go deep, deep within. And so we're grateful, Lord, and we ask your thanks. We ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.